Good morning, everybody. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. God, the most compassionate, the merciful. Let us all be focused on one God who has sent all the scriptures, who has sent all the religions, and who now has unified all of them together as the last revelation from God that teaches all the religion have come from the same source. We have all created a God, and the goal of the life is to become divine, become one with God. We are here to progress to oneness with God, and the very purpose and reason for the universe is this basic truth about the creation. We are here to work on ourselves and help others also to go back to the source and God. And that is the reason for this creation, for this world, for this life. And therefore, we have to recognize and realize why we are here and why God created us. By teaching this to others and recognizing and realizing it ourselves, we understand that the purpose of life, that has been the topic of research, meditation, revelations all through human history. What is the purpose of life? Why we are here? What is the reason for being here? And that is the reason. The goal of the life is to become divine or be divine. Now we have been receiving revelation from God for last 12,000 years, and each religion have come and created followers. And each religion believe sincerely that they are the chosen people from God, and any other religion either are wrong or absolutely not from God. But the scripturally God says in the revelation in the Bible that there is going to be seven angels that will come to man, and each time these angels come, they will blast the trumpet, the sound, the word, and realization then bring to humanity the truth. And of course, each time they come, human resist them, they do not understand them, they crucify them, they call them devil. They kill them, they shoot at them, they stone them, and they do many, many things that all of us know have done to the prophets. But anytime they do that, anytime they reject the prophet of God, of course, a great purification comes to them, and the disaster will follow coming of that prophet. Each prophet has come for one specific people. Old Testament came for the children of Israel. Christ came for the lost sheep of Israel. Prophet Muhammad came for Arabs and the children of Ishmael. Bob came for Persians and some others. And each religion have chosen one people and never had a universal scope or for the whole world. And usually the prophet came to the people that he was born in and revealed it to them. But this revelation is from the whole world. He brought the prophet from another nation to other parts of the world and then revealed the revelation to him for the whole humanity, and therefore the scope of this revelation is for every man, woman, child on earth, and that has come to them to realize that there is only one God and all this religion and revelation has come from him. The goal of the life is to become divine, and God has been promising that he will do all these, and he has done it. Shalom means I pay my salutation to the divinity within you. It's the derivation from Shalom, Salam, Salute, Om. Om is the essence of sound in the universe, and therefore is the essence of man. So when we say Shalom, we are sending the salutation to the divinity, to the essence of you. We are not looking at you as a race, as a gender, as a anything, but we look at your essence as who you are in God. Salam, of course, comes from the word Taslim or Islam. It means peace be on you, or be surrendered to God so you receive peace. So Salam is the words that Muslims use, which has a beautiful meaning. Shalom is the Jewish word, which will have the very similar meaning to Salam. But Salam, again, unifies all of them. It is from Sal, which is the abbreviation for salutation, and Om is the word that Hindus recognize as the first primal sound in the universe, and that is why a lot of people meditate on Om. And if you are in a crowd, or if you listen to a waterfall, or like the best probably is the Niagara Fall, if you go close to Niagara Fall, for miles before you come to the Niagara Fall, you hear that Om sound. That you can, it's a very powerful vibrating sound that you can hear before you get there. So that is why the people meditate on Om as the primal sound in the universe. So Shalom means I pay my salutation to the divinity or your essence, not as a person, but I look at you as a part of God. Therefore, now we have come with this message to humanity that this is the time for human to recognize and realize that religion is just a part of a greater truth, and each of them are a people chosen to receive one part of this great revelation. Therefore, it's the duty and responsibility of every person on earth found this truth and this revelation that has come from God. It cannot be from anybody but God, because it's based on the scriptures and the word of God, and there is no one on this world who has explained the word of God and the truth that he has been trying to convey to humanity to this point better than this mission and this revelation. And that exactly fulfills the prophecy that when the seventh angel come, he will reveal the whole mystery of God. There is no mystery which is going to be left. And of course, now there is no mystery left. You understand our teaching. You see that God said that he will send them, he will bring this truth to humanity until this point, and now we are in this point, and it is everybody's responsibility to give this message to everyone they know, they can reach, they can meet, or whatever they do. And therefore we can see that we are in a very interesting junction of human evolution, and God has fulfilled all his promises to this point. Of course, if you have a question, you can go ahead and, if you don't talk to me, conversation, go ahead and we can do that. Otherwise, I will just gonna go ahead and talk about what is this mission is all about and how each of us have received this revelation so we can know why we are here. We are here to return to God. That is the goal of life. And if we recognize that and realize that and teach everybody that every man and woman and child should be given the opportunity, trained, the whole society and earth should be organized and guided toward this end, to become divine. We have to create a society that it will help children to become divine, to know the Word of God, to love the Word of God more than their own lives. That is, each of you have to learn to love the Word of God more than our lives. And teach man that that is the salvation of man. We are not here to accumulate wealth. We are not here to become egoistical and self-centered and follow our own little wishes. We are here to recognize why God created the universe. Is there any God in the first place? Of course, Maya and ego is so strong and powerful that most of the people, you know, even those who say they believe in God, they really don't know Him. Therefore, that's why we recommend to meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, and recognize and eventually have an experience with God. A lot of people want to explain God. God, of course, is not explainable. God has to be experienced. And you experience God through meditation. So, let us see that vision clearly. And let us be able to convey this vision to others clearly. That the goal of the life is to become divine, and we have to work toward the creation of the community of life based on the eternal divine path. And that is the most important and most urgent goal and work on earth. Create a community that is no bickering, there is no backbiting, there is no, you know, ego involvement, there is no kind of a relationship that we can see in the communities and families and things that exist, that they try to find faults in each other and create an environment that after a while, you know, everybody, you know, backbiting and saying things against each other or talking behind them or because of an old impurity wants to hurt the other people in the community or in where we live or in our family. So we have to create not a regular family that we have now, not a regular community that we have now, but the community that each person will clean inside so well that they do not have the craving of the regular relationships that exist on earth. So we are creating really real man, real relationships, real communities, real families based on true understanding, love, respect, the ability to see ourselves, why the thing we say, when the reason for what we say is deeper, has a deeper meaning of psychological, you know, hang-ups that we are still carrying in our lives or in ourselves. It has nothing to do with the family or community or partner, you know. One of the two people that most try to hurt each other are the couples. because they live with each other for a long time, and that's a part of human that also has to be cleaned and clean and understood in this time, that if you live together for a long time doesn't mean that you have to start hating each other and backbiting and all that, but create an environment, no matter how long you live, to visit one another, have respect and love and understanding for each other. So when we are talking about the community of life, we're not talking about the regular community that we already have. When we are talking about the couples in the mission, we're not talking about the regular couples we have. We're talking about a new way to live in the bounds of the marriage and create a community based on that relationship between two couples that respect one another and create an environment for each other to grow physically, mentally, and spiritually, and then that extend that feeling and understanding to the community, and therefore we have a community after a while, everybody lives in it with that kind of relationship. So, again, this mission is for golden age. This mission is for the kingdom of God on earth. You can continue the way, you know, things are now and they say, okay, I'm going to have the kingdom of heaven on earth. We cannot. The only way we can do that is to bring a new heaven and a new earth and look at the old new earth and see what did it go wrong with, what was the relationship between couples, what was the relationship in the community, what the relationship in the whole society or city or state or nation or earth. And then of course purification, it starts from the word of God, that it's all been purified. Mission of my church doesn't have any dogma, doesn't have any separative doctrine. It doesn't have any man-made doctrine as other religions have. We do not have a dogma. We have a path. We have a way. You either follow it or you don't. If you want to follow it, then you need an inside-outside purification of self, of your environment, of marriage, of community, of the nations, of the whole earth. And that is the process of healing that mission of Maitreya has brought to humanity and now is preaching, asking every man and woman understand and look at it and recognize how important this revelation and this request is. And as more people realize, you know, this, and they put their ego away and become pure channels for God, more and more we will have holy people that they have seen the vision, they have experienced God, they have purified themselves, they have purified their family, they have purified their environment. It is not another Sunday school or going to mosque once a week or a synagogue or the religion that historically has been, you know, separated and divided and been full of, you know, have brought full of dogmas and man-made ideas to it. It's the pure word of God, and that's why this mission cannot and should not be split to many dogmas. It doesn't have any. It is a path. It is not an easy path. It is also your salvation. What is Islam? Islam comes from the word of Taslim. It means surrendering and submission to God. That is the highest spiritual realization that a man can achieve. If you read our teaching, Islam is the fourth seal at the very top of the greatest sign as the seal of the prophets, like a seal in a ring. Islam is at the top of the ring, and the meaning of it means surrendering and submission to God. And of course, he brought the highest spiritual realization. Therefore, in that essence, in that sense, Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet. No other prophet really brought any greater realization to humanity. And if you study our teaching, the first seal is to awaken your spiritual forces, which covers, sir, what do you know about Islam? If you know our teachings and recognize and realize and see the vision, you will become a better Muslim than any Muslim ever could be. What I know about Islam, I was born in an Islamic country, and I grew up in that culture. I guess I know a lot about Islam then, and that started me in the religion. I learned something, thanks. Alright, you're welcome. And Islam is the fourth seal. The second seal is to create the communities of life, which is the Old Testament. The third seal is sacrifice for not being self-centered, which is the third seal. And after you go throughout awakening your spiritual forces, trying to create the communities of life and sacrificing for it, you surrender the result to God. That means you will not be attached to the result. Even greater than that, you let God come through and He does the action. When you do that, you and God will become one, and He become the doer. And that is the really meaning of Islam. It means to be submissive to God. It means you follow God's will more than your own will. And that is oneness with God. And that is the goal of life, to become divine, become one with God. I see, I learned something, okay? Can you learn me something? Like what? You want me to teach you something. What is that? Ecstatic. Okay? What do you want to learn? Ecstatic. If you want to learn more, go to our website. Of course, first learn English better. Go study English. Talk with the people that they can teach you English very well, because this revelation has come in English. Every man and a woman should learn English, because we need one language on earth that can unify man so we can communicate. One of the problems of the humanity right now is that they don't understand each other. You know, the West doesn't understand the East, and the East doesn't understand the West, and therefore they are going right over each other's head, and they cannot see the depth of each side of the cultures. Of course, I was born in East and I came to West. You know, so I probably have a better grip of the truth in both cultures, and both of them are beautiful, have a lot of truth, and actually when you combine them together, you will reach in a greater degree of being a more perfect human. So, each of you, East and West, and each nation have to see the beauty in other nation, just like a many flowers, and then you put them together and become pair, and that's much prettier than one flower on earth. And as we understand English and bring the other words, the karma, dharma, reincarnation, jihad, and all the wonderful words in other cultures to this language, eventually we're going to have a language. It's not going to be English anymore, but it's going to be much more powerful and more beautiful, and people can understand each other. You know, 100 years ago, ask somebody in the United States, you know, you have paid a lot of karma. He would look at you just like, what is karma? You know, what's talking about? I had no idea what karma meant. You know, even now tell anybody, you know, that is karma. They say, yeah, I understand what you're talking about. You lend me some best words. Alright. I'm glad you like the words that have come here to you. And these are the birds of life. It is the, they are the fire words. They have come from God. And if you understand them, they should inflame your soul, and you become a soldier of Christ, a man who has nothing in this life but preach these words and express this mission and teaching to every corner on the earth, and will not rest until his or her mission is accomplished by being dedicated to this word and the revelation. You're welcome, Ecstatic. I hope you learn English. Where are you from, Ecstatic? What part of the world are you in? If you understand my English, I hope you improve your English and go to the website, see the teaching, and even you will understand even there is greater words that you can learn in this revelation. And you actually, if you see the vision, it should cleanse you, you know, just being a shower of the grace, you know, forever. And give this the bread of life to other people. And recognize that the goal of the life is somebody's name is the goal is what? I'm third, 9th class student. Okay, yeah, but where are you from? Is my chair here today or is recording? No, it is me. Is he here? Blessed still. This is my Maitreya. You are talking to him. And if you have a question or want to talk to me, go ahead, take the mic and have a conversation with me, or type in the text and we talk about whatever you have question in. Oh, you are from Pakistan. That is good. You are pretty close where I was born. I was born in Iran, which is your neighbor. I still do not have a mic, but I'll ask question later. Fine. Still, go ahead and ask question anytime. You're going to be here till 11:30, so you have 1 hour to bring your question. My parents from Punjab. Oh, great. Okay, so you are from India. Actually, my spiritual journey starts with a teacher or a guru from India by the name of Shri Shri Ananda Murti. So Pakistan used to be part of Punjab. Yes. And then when the Gandhi came, Pakistan split from India, but Pakistan segregated from Punjab. All right, Punjab is a very good place. Of course, all the places in the universe is a part of God, so all of them are good. If you see in the from the eye of God, there is no place is bad. They're all beautiful. They have, what's your name? I have many names. If you go to the website, you will see them. My real name is Amandeep. Okay. That is good. My birth name is Muhammad. I received the other names that I have. My other name is Maitreya, Vijay Kumar, Joseph, and many other names. So if you ask for my first name, it's Muhammad. Oh, sorry, but I got my mic. Okay, still. If you have a mic, raise your hand and come to conversation area and you can talk to us about that. Salman, okay. Salman, or if he's saying as Suleiman, or is that a Suleiman or is that Salman? Raise your hand if. Anyway, that is good to have you here, Salman. And if you are in Pakistan, how come your English is not very good? Because most Pakistanis, they speak English very well. Suleiman, yeah, that is Suleiman is the word for Salman in this the child of King David. In Arabic, they call him Suleiman. In English, they call him Solomon. Yeah. Okay, that is good age to start your okay, there's a question that did I say I had a guru? Yes, I did. Can we talk again about the mind? Sure. Still, what do you want to know about the mind? I'm curious about the nature of memory. Okay? Memory is actually the ethereal level in the universe. That is where the memory comes from. Okay, Static, I'm gonna go ahead and talk to Steele for a while about his questions. memory seems to be the difficulty in our consciousness, psychological memory. Yes, meaning how we record and store feeling of the past. Okay, if you study the teaching again, in the beginning, then before the creation, before anything started, universe was in the state of equilibrium or beingness, and from the stored feeling memory we react accordingly. Yes, that is the subconscious mind that we have created in this lifetime and many other lifetimes. This memory stored the information about our past, and then the universe went out of the balance. The first feeling was I know, the second was I do, and the third was I have done, which is memory. Memory is the things has been done in the past, stored in the universal mind, which is called Akashic record. And also we have memory of this life, which is our own memory from this lifetime. And through many lifetimes, we have created a subconscious mind. And in this subconscious mind, we have our feelings, we store experiences. And therefore, these experiences and feelings now runs our life. You know, some people are afraid of things that they don't know what they're afraid of. The reason is probably in previous lifetimes something happened to them which what they are afraid of has some role or reason to for them to be afraid of it. And if they meditate and understand why it is affecting them in a deeper level, they eventually realize that fear is no longer can be good. Also, you can train the subconscious mind with a new set of feelings and create a subconscious mind which is more positive than the one you had before. Just like teachings in some groups that they teach you how to replace the negative feelings or thinking with a positive thinking and positive feeling. So the subconscious mind is the storage of accumulated memory and feeling and experiences from this lifetime and many lifetimes. And this is actually what is beyond, between us and the universal mind or universal memory. Therefore, the whole idea of subconscious mind or the memory is to reach a point that we go beyond the subconscious mind. Please tell us then, how do we already affect our bad causes that we have brought on ourselves? Material think we can train and modify the subconscious mind, but still suggest we have an individual central ego bunch. Okay, well, you're going too fast still here. If we have the interest in freeing from the individual mind, then we must have this memory. Well, that is the teaching a lot of people, like that group of Scientologists. They try to replace the memory and how not to identify with sensation which creates memory. Okay, this is the topic that, let me address it in this way, that the mission's approach is different than any other religion. Many religion and psychologists and all that okay, that's one. If you let me explain it still, that's what I'm addressing. You say, I don't know how to go ahead about it. I think it's a need, but I don't know how to do it. Okay. First of all, let's understand what the memory is and what the subconscious mind is, what is conscious mind is, what is unconscious mind is, and then go from there. Okay, the conscious mind is the mind that we are conscious and here right now. I'm sitting in front of this computer. I can see the screen of the computer. I'm conscious of this. I'm giving this lecture or this explanation to you. I'm conscious of I'm doing this. This is the conscious mind. The subconscious mind is the stored memory, feeling, understanding. Yes, it is indeed exactly the present awareness of our environment and where we are. Then it is the unconscious mind. Unconscious mind is the mind of God, and that is the... No, there is nothing wrong with the conscious mind. I didn't say anything is wrong with conscious mind. And there is nothing wrong with unconscious mind, okay, which is the mind of God. And God, unconscious mind, knows everything at the same time. So, I'm not going to read your questions again. I'm just going to go ahead and answer them, because you just keep going on and on about it. You don't let me have a conversation, but you just breaking my explanation. Unconscious mind is the mind of God. There's nothing wrong with that either. That is the conscious that has been here, is here, will be here forever. It is the subconscious mind, which is between conscious mind and unconscious mind, which is the problem. And that is the accumulation of individual experience and individual memory from many lifetimes. And these experiences has created the feelings, the understanding of our lives, and now they rule our life, and we cannot get rid of them because they are affecting us in our life. There are many religion and organization that try to reprogram this subconscious mind instead of being negative to make it a positive influence in your life, and it works. And many people follow this, the other people teaching, because it helps them in life become successful. But the goal of the life is not to be successful. The goal of the life is to become divine. The goal of the life is to go back to God. Therefore, it's okay if you want to reprogram your subconscious mind. Okay, sure. Sir, may I please ask to focus on the connection between unconscious mind and subconscious mind? That is my concern. Sure, Now, we talked about conscious mind and unconscious mind. So the subconscious mind is between you and the unconscious mind. You really want to go and recognize and realize the unconscious mind, which is the God conscious or the universal mind. Therefore, you have to eliminate the subconscious mind in order to go to God or unconscious mind. Sure, sure, ecstatic. Go ahead if you want to leave. Have a good day. And I do not speak Pashto, but I do speak Persian. And that's Christian. That's fun. You have a good day. Ecstatic. Therefore, the whole idea is to eliminate the subconscious mind, to go directly to unconscious mind or God's mind, and that process can be done through meditation. Okay? So, to answer your question is, you have to start meditate, to recognize and realize what is or has happened to you in many lifetimes, and by recognizing this subconscious mind and effect in your life, you will find a pattern in your life that has been happening in your life. Everybody has patterns in their life. They usually think they have no power over it. They make the same mistake over and over and over, and if you meditate, eventually you recognize these patterns, this, your fears, your desires, your everything that pulls you to different direction. As we have talked about it many times, it looks like you have many horses, many powerful horses carrying the chariot, which is your body and your life. And these powerful horses, as you have seen in the pictures, they show that Krishna is sitting in the chariot and there are powerful horses carrying the chariot. If you do not tame those horses, they break up the chariot to pieces. Okay? So, you have to start to know yourself, to recognize the devil in you, to see the subconscious mind, which has a lot of creatures in it, which pull you to different direction, to recognize the pattern in your life, see how you go through the same patterns no matter where you live. You say, if I leave and go and live somewhere else, I'm going to be okay, and you go there, you don't. So what is it that it makes me go through the same pattern, the same problems, I end up to the same place, no matter where God puts me? When you saw that, that is your subconscious mind telling you what to do in this life. And by recognizing and realizing who you are and going deeper level, you eventually, you know, eliminate the barrier between you and the unconscious or universal mind. So, the goal is to get rid of the subconscious mind. The goal is to get rid of my will, but replace it with God's will. and that is to eliminate the subconscious mind and become in touch with the unconscious mind or universal mind, and then you don't have any subconscious mind left. What you do is God coming through purely, and therefore you are free from all kind of thoughts. I tell you, to me, it seems that the unconscious mind is not God, because it is the unconscious mind has many primal urges. Exactly, that's what I was saying. A subconscious mind is the individual mind, such as sex, greed, anger, and other animalistic inherited tendencies. Yeah, it's just like the primal, you know, tendency actually is not bad. It's not, we are not talking about kill the horse. If there is a horse, you don't kill the horse. It's just anger, you know, greed. If you're greedy for God, it's good. But if you're greedy for the material thing, it's never going to take you from God. Or anger. Sometimes you have to show anger, but when to use it effectively, or just be angry for no reason and be angry to the people and cut them off and completely not, you know, create good, deep, you know, personal relationship with people, then you have a problem. You see, these are like the horses that you have to train them and break them down, so then you have a good horse to use them. Can you please help me understand? Yeah, I'm trying. You cannot run away from yourself. No, you can't. That is why you have to sit down, actually, calm yourself down, go deeper level, and see these things. For instance, that is a good example, anger, for example. Why I'm angry? Meditate on anger. Remember that you get angry yesterday for some reason. Then I got angry 2 weeks ago, and a month, and 10 years, and as I go deeper and deeper, you see a pattern, and then you recognize why these things are happening, and as you see them and put them in the light, and if you keep to put them in the light, eventually they vanish. These things are like darkness. When the light comes, darkness cannot escape. You cannot run away. Okay, I can understand the implication of unconscious and conscious mind, but subconscious mind, I don't know. But I think the unconscious mind is primal, but you say unconscious mind is God. Yes, unconscious, well, unconscious mind has, God has the primal instinct too, but he is pure, and based on universal scope. Our primal instinct, there is nothing in the universe which is not a part of God. It depends how purified it becomes. You know, there is no reason, you know, for not having primal instinct. The primal instinct, when primal instinct used for life, they are purified by God, which come from unconscious mind. I don't see how that is so. So we can see that if you understand our teachings about the unconscious mind, and the conscious mind and subconscious mind, then you recognize that unconscious mind has all the tendencies of the subconscious mind, but subconscious mind is from individual mind created from this lifetime and many lifetimes before it, and this subconscious mind is something between you and God, which keeps you from going to the pure instincts of God's understanding and having that kind of scope of realizing God. Therefore, you have to recognize this. Conscious mind, which is easy, whatever you are conscious on right now, it's subconscious mind, which is universal mind, which is the mind of God, which is pure, and its instinct is pure, and it is subconscious mind, which is the accumulation of our experiences, and there are great tendencies in each individual to listen to this subconscious mind and follow it. And usually, because subconscious mind has been accumulated for many lifetimes and this lifetime, it is ours. And the only thing we can do is we can meditate, see the pattern, see the creatures, put them to the light, eventually recognize what is which is running our life, that is that make us do what we do, and sometimes they are not good for us, they are not good for the people around us. And if we do that and we are sincere, eventually those things will be vanished. But you have to meditate. You have to have the ability to see these creatures. I think I'm learning something today, but I need some clarification. Okay, go ahead and tell me what kind of clarification you need. It is not the subconscious mind is the real problem, and has to be understood in a deeper level. And that is the hardest part probably about the conscious and subconscious and unconscious mind, is the subconscious mind. Okay, there is a question from Shakara Rava. Please tell us then how to be release the effects of our bad causes that we have brought on ourselves. Alright, the way to overcome the unconscious, subconscious mind is through the meditation, recognition of effects of the subconscious mind on our lives, and by seeing them clearly, in putting in the light, and eventually they will be vanished. Also by reading a scripture, the word of God, trying to follow them up, following the eternal divine path, recognizing the revelations of God, and seeing the path that has been revealed here to you, and trying to live in the comings of light. It is much harder for individuals to see their subconscious mind or their shortcomings than other people. Other people see us much clearer than we see ourselves. Therefore, the second step after we start meditating is to start creating comings of light. Start bringing other people who will live around us, and they see us much clearer. Probably they are polite for a couple of months or 6 months, you know, telling us, you know, what's wrong with us. But after 6 months, they're going to tell you, you have these problems. And this is the time you sit back and stop creating excuses and having all those excuses that, no, you are right and they are wrong. You have to stop and say, what are these people telling me? They are my friends. They are the incarnates of light. They have my good intention. They have good intention in telling me. They're not trying to be nasty to me, and therefore I will listen to them, and I will look into what they are telling me in deeper level in my meditation. That is how little by little you see this subconscious mind is affecting you, and how it's affecting you, what are the patterns, what you do that other people don't like about you. And therefore, little by little, you replace that with the godly characteristic and conscious, and you will progress and eliminate the subconscious mind. The unconscious mind has everything contained, since it's God, yes. But is it the conscious mind that identifies to a portion of the greater unconscious mind and reaches to it under certain patterns that make up the subconscious mind, and make up of the subconscious tendencies that makes up the momentum of the ego center? That is my question. By meditation, do you mean think or another way? We have a room that teaches meditation called Maitreya on the Universal Mantra. Thank you. Okay. The unconscious mind has everything contained as God. That's true. But is it the conscious mind that identifies to a portion of the greater unconscious mind? Okay. The conscious mind is just conscious at this moment. Okay, now you're taking the question to another level, that, okay, the conscious mind is what we see. Okay, really there is a three levels in mind. The level of seeing things. First of all, the question is, by meditation, do I mean thinking? No, meditation is not thinking. Thinking you can think with your eyes open and all that. But meditation, it means to calm the mind, to reach a point that your body, mind, and all that are so calm that your conscious becomes still. Be still and know that I am God. That is the goal of meditation, to become still. Not thinking. Thinking is an intellectual thing. But meditation, the goal of the meditation is to become still. To reach a point that mind gives up, actually. It doesn't think at all. That's why we were talking about the story of, you know, that mind is like a genie, that it needs work. If you don't give him work, it becomes very unhappy. That is what thinking is. Thinking is just like give mind, demanding you to think about different things. But mantra is like a tail of the dog is given to the genie, so instead of genie demanding, you know, work, it starts playing, trying to straighten the tail of the dog, but the tail of the dog never stays straight because it curves back. Therefore, your mind eventually gives up because it has a work that is going to take forever, and it eventually lets yourself up. The unconscious mind breaks through the thinking, which is a part of the subconscious mind. Subconscious mind make you think, I have to go to eat. What did I eat last night? I have to go do this. I have to go do that. You know, what is the nature of mind? I have to think about the nature of mind. You don't recognize the nature of mind by thinking, but eventually become one with it in a stillness. Okay? So meditation is not thinking. That's why we give the mantra Hari Om Shri Han Om Nam Kevalam, that you repeat it and eventually recognize the stillness within, and then when you are still like a still lake, the reflection of God or unconscious mind will reflect in that still water, and you see and recognize God. Therefore, you have to see God in that calmness. So meditation is not thinking. Now about the subconscious mind, again you have to, and conscious mind. The conscious mind has three parts. We see things, recognize what it is, and then we decide what to do. That's a three level of mind, which is created by three creative forces, or three gunas. Okay, I have to ask again, you know, all of you guys, you know, you have to go to our website. You have to read our teachings in a much, much greater degree. These questions are very involved questions that has been already explained. And if you study though, it will help you a lot when I explain. Because when I say trigunas, I don't know if you know what they are. Trigunas or tamaguna, sattvaguna, and rajaguna. And the most crude part of the mind is created by tama. This is called citta. The moment we see something, it have the form of that thing. Citta creates that form. Okay? And then the recognizing part, or rajaguna, sends the message is, this is the monitor that I'm looking at in a computer. And the sattva guna says, oh, monitor is that tube that is connected to the computer and can bring the graphs and text into it. And you have to look at it to see what these people are asking in that monitor and answer them. So you see, there are three levels of conscious mind. This is conscious mind. This is all it does. But in subconscious mind, you don't see anything. You just see the effect of it because you have created the subconscious mind. Of course, the unconscious mind is the mind of God. It in that level, the citta, the recognizing part, and the decision-making part is universal. It's absolutely internal. It's nothing external. You don't have the external consciousness in the universal mind, although you know everything at the same time. So, if you understand that, then you see subconscious mind is something between conscious mind and unconscious mind. Actually, the idea is at the time of death, you absolutely lose the conscious mind and you merge with the universal mind or unconscious mind or God. Okay? So, the idea again is to eliminate the subconscious mind that has been created many lifetimes. Of course, while you are going toward elimination of the subconscious mind, you also can program the subconscious mind to become more positive by meditating and seeing your pattern and twisting them and bring them to in a more positive and more effective way, and that can be done in a greater degree in the communities of life. In the communities of life, you have no choice but to cooperate, to coordinate, to be with other people, to be nice. Otherwise, you're not going to stay in communities of life much or longer. If you have to eliminate backbiting, eliminate being, you know, unhappy and being nasty to other people and using your pattern as it was, and because the people are there. Okay, thanks. Okay, got it. I think so. Great. I'm glad you got it. Okay, the conscious mind has three levels, the gunas. Yes. How many levels does the unconscious mind have? Okay. Alright, for that, I recommend you read the book, Universe and Man. It talks about the gunas, it talks about the koshas and lokas, and relationship between them, and how, you know, there are five koshas and seven lokas, and how they each are connected with one another, and how that connected with mind, unconscious mind. Then, again, we have to say that God is in different levels. In the manifested universe, the universal mind also has three levels. The citta, or the forming part, is the universe, is the manifested universe. The recognizing part is the rajaguna, or the energy in the universe, which shows what to do with this universe, and the decision making is the sattva guna in the universe, that or where the decisions are made. The citta also includes the akashic record or universal memory, which all the memories of whatever happened from the very beginning of the universe to this point are just stored there. That is why, you know, people change the scriptures and then another prophet comes and says same thing or bring the greater truth to humanity. So universal mind has, in that level, has, in that state as the manifested God, has three levels. But in pure consciousness, all the three gunas absolutely become balanced and no activity of the mind exists at all. You're absolute pure consciousness. You know everything at the same time without, you know, even trying. Okay? You just know. That's it. There is no I know, but no. That's it. There is no I left. And when there is no I left, there is no mind. There is no thinking. There is no brain. There is nothing. It's just, that's why Buddha called it, you know, nirvana. And some people say nothingness. Of course, it's not nothingness, because still that knowness exists without I. It just knows. Okay? So it depends which part of God you're talking about. If you're talking about the manifested God, yes, there is three levels, but in the purest form, it is absolutely undescribable. That is why you cannot describe God. You have to experience that consciousness. You have to experience that. If you don't have any subconscious mind, if you eventually eliminate your subconscious mind, you absolutely recognize that God coming through absolutely. There is no separation between you and God. And then you follow the eternal divine path with a second nature. You don't have to even think about it. That's it. You meditate, you create from yourself light, you help other people to create common love light, you guide them, you tell them, come and let's help to create the communities of light and bring the kingdom on earth. You sacrifice easily for it and you are submissive and surrender to God. And actually it's a joy to be submissive and surrender to God because He does a perfect job and He comes through and you become universalist because you don't have any choice. How can you separate any part of the universe from any other part? God is everything. There is nothing which is not God. How can I say my religion is better than yours or I'm here, I'm here, this, I'm that? You can't. You can't just do that. So following the eternal divine path become a second nature to you. Okay? And therefore, that experience has to come to you one day to see God is absolutely coming through, and of course you become an elect. You can't say, "Oh, I'm an elect, but I still have a lot of problem, and I've never experienced God, and I still am in an ego trip and all that." It just doesn't work. You have to be it, not to claim it. It's absolutely different story. So the goal is to eliminate the subconscious mind. Then how about people who use psychic powers? Do you think it's a hindrance from the spiritual path? Yes, it is. Because Buddha said to stray away from such a power since it influences people to move into the periphery areas going into great. Buddha was correct. Mind which way to you say. Yes, exactly. That is true. That's what we have been teaching for last 24, 25 years. Do not seek power. Do not seek cities. Do not go to ethereal level. If it happens, just enjoy it. Say thank you. I have to go to pure consciousness. To the highest spiritual goal is to become one with God, to go beyond mind. A lot of people come here and they say, Krishnamurti, said you have to explain and understand the nature of mind. Well, I always felt Krishnamurti was a very intellectual person. He said a lot of truth, but you have to go beyond mind. You have to go to that essence, which is not explainable. You cannot understand the nature of mind by thinking about the mind. You have to go just like a mirror is trying to understand what the mirror is. It can't. Unless there is another mirror come in front of that and say, "Oh, that's it is. That is what mirror is." You have to go beyond mind to the consciousness and then look at the mind and say, "Oh, that's it. That is how mind is." Therefore, no, we do not recommend to seek power, psychic, energies or psychic powers or any kind of power will be an obstacle in your way. You have to go beyond any of these toys, but to go to the essence. My concern is because I used to see purple near my hand and had looked into what its use was. Then the psychic said it's a healing power, but I did not follow through in trying to find its use. Well, actually, even in that level, you have to teach other people how to heal themselves Because if even you have the healing power and you heal them, as Christ said, when the unclean spirit leaves, it goes and finds seven more vicious than itself, and it comes back, and the state of man is going to be worse than it was before, because the man didn't learn how to heal himself. He doesn't know how to heal himself. You heal him and you leave them. What's the man going to do? If he knew how to heal himself, even the first unclean spirit wouldn't injure him. You know, and then you leave, of course, the unclean spirit says, hey, this stupid man, let somebody else heal him, and now he is clean and the healer is gone, let's go back. And this time, even more, you know, unclean spirit enters the man and he will be worse than he was before. And Christ never really emphasized the healing power, his healing power, and anytime he heals someone, he said, don't tell anybody, you know. And he was doing it because in that state, human had or needed to see those miracles. The miracles of the mission in this time is the message, which is, will heal the whole earth and humanity. This is the healing power of this mission. It is for healing the whole earth, not individual. Individuals are taught how to heal themselves. They have been given all the tools they need to heal themselves, and they don't need any healer. If you are a healing, have a healing power, say, thank you, God, but I rather follow the eternal divine path. I rather get rid of these toys, like a little child who is, you know, yelling, mother, 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 and then, you know, the mother gives him a little toy, and he's okay with the toy, and you leave him alone. He says, okay, a little power, and you know, you leave God alone. But if the child throws the toy away and say, no, God, I want you. I don't want these toys, you know, and what mother has to do? He has to hug him and bring him to himself, and the child is with the mother. So do not let the toys take you away from the goal. The goal is to reach pure consciousness. The goal of the life is to be divine, to manifest God's quality, compassion, love, understanding, depth, you know, creation of the communities of life, you know, overcoming your lower nature or subconscious mind, and bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Those are the goal of life, not to have healing power. Sometimes I go into psychic chat room and they tend to do a fortune reading, which is only the real purpose is to release people's anxiety through superficial ways. So I was turned off. Well, very good. I'm glad you got turned off. The whole idea is to attract and bring the people who have gone through those things for many lifetimes and eventually recognize and realize they are superficial, they are not the goal of the spiritual journey, they are traps, they are for the lower nature, they are from lower consciousness. Of course, there are a lot of lower consciousness that still live in this universe and this earth, and we leave them to God. The only people we are calling are the people that are in higher consciousness. They talk about the spiritual guide. Are there really spiritual guides? There is only one guide, and that is God. And if you have a great grip on the scriptures and his words, you do not need any medium between you and God, and any medium which connects you to themselves are false prophets, teachers, guides, and they are in your way to God or pure consciousness. Therefore, go to God directly. Okay, I have another question, my friend. Go ahead. So, it is very important for every human realize that they can go to God directly. And that's what this revelation is all about. God has sent this revelation to awaken you, to guide you to go to God directly. Any medium, any spiritual guide, any whatever between, any guru, anything between you and God is an obstacle, is false, and you should not stay with them. God is the goal. You do not need mullahs, you do not need rabbis, you do not need father or son, you do not need teachers. If the teacher teaches what the scripture says, then they are good teachers. But you shouldn't be even attached to them. You have to say what they say. If they say go to God and they teach God, you know, listen to their word and go to God. My dear, when one has an impulse, suppose sexual impulse, if one doesn't pursue the impulse, is the impulse suppressed back into the subconscious mind or released out of the subconscious mind at that moment in time? Alright, there is two paths in this question. One path is the path of yoga, and the other path is the path of tantra. If there is impulses in a person that they are strong and powerful, there is one way is to suppress it and just don't let it bother you. It of course needs a lot of willpower, purification, meditation, fasting, and recognizing, you know, how they are affecting you. The other one is the path of tantra, is to meditate on them, experience them in your meditation, and go through with them. At the end, you will see how superficial or unnecessary they are, and how they will affect you, your life, your environment, and they are not good. So, if you can suppress them with the willpower, but it's very hard. For some people, it's almost impossible to suppress things. That is why in the path of Tantra, it says, okay, go through the experience, but have the awareness of how it affects you, and eventually recognize the emptiness of your impulses and your desires. And if you can see that clearly at the end, you come out victoriously, without having to suppress them and making feeling miserable. The Tantra thing seems good. But the problem with the Tantra way is it's a dangerous path. It means not only you go through them, but you have to recognize the emptiness of it. And sometimes people, they say they follow the path of Tantra, and they will not only go through it, but they get trapped in it, because the repression only makes the nature of impulse more and more stronger, right? Tantra seems like an excuse of the experience. Yeah, exactly. If you make the Tantra an excuse, exactly, that's a good word. If you make the Tantra an excuse, for instance, a lot of people in the West, they think Tantra means sexual relationship. You know, so they say, okay, I'm in the path of Tantra, I'm going to have as much, you know, sexual experience as I want. You know, that is not the path of Tantra at all. The path of Tantra actually is to be able to be aware of the experience while you're going through it, and at the end you recognize the emptiness of it, not an excuse to come. That is the problem. Yeah. That is why there are two level of Tantra, the low level path and the high level path. In a high level path, you really don't have to go through the experience and act on it, but through your meditation, you go through the experience, you know. And through your meditation, you know, just you see the emptiness. I mean, for example, I give an example of, you want a beautiful car, you want a Lamborghini, okay? You want a Rolls Royce. Okay, you don't buy them. You go through your meditation. Okay, I have to first work very hard and probably dedicate most of my life to have that money to buy a Lamborghini. Okay, now I got it, you know, where I'm going to drive it. You know, you can drive that in the streets. You know, you have to drive it in a special place probably. and then it breaks down. You know, it's very expensive to fix it. You know, the engine is so powerful it even breaks down more often than regular cars. On and on. And at the end you say, well, no, I really don't want it because, you know, it's going to make my life miserable. It's going to take me away from my spiritual path. It's going to, you know, at the end I'm going to dedicate all my love for that desire I have to have such a expensive car. Okay? So you can see, you go through it, at the end you say, no, that's not a good idea. That is the high path in Tantra. And if you follow the high path of Tantra, of course, you go through experiential meditation, you see the, you know, emptiness of it, and you come out victoriously. Another example is like wanting a girlfriend. Then eventually she breaks down or complains a lot. Then you consider wanting to be alone. Any desire, for example, you know, in the communities of life, probably, you know, the man and the woman are grow up together, and when they are, you know, 15, 16 years old, they don't have to go through this, you know, incredible incredible games that they, in these young people going through right now, and have a girlfriend, and they have fights and this and that. But in community, they know each other, they're great people, they help them, they get married when they're 15, 16 years old, and they create a unit in the community of life. And that's even greater degree, they don't have to go through all these crazy things that you just talk about, how people going through, and eventually they come, you know, broken hearted and unhappy, and even, you know, they forget God because they have to spend more time with their girlfriends or this and that. Or as Chakra Ravana says, when you have an escalation in that car, exactly, you know, you get very unhappy about it. So I understand your point very well. Good, great. What room is this? Alright, are you... Okay. Alright, and... we can see that, again, you know, that is the way to overcome your desires or impulses, your subconscious mind, by meditation, by awareness, by recognizing the pattern in your life, by greatly, you have to be a great person, brave person. You want to go to the path of spirituality, and a lot of people are lost out there in many different ways. They are following a guru, they are following a teacher, they are following a rabbi, this and that. They are following, you know, their own desires, and still they say they are godly, and they're going to go to God and love God, and they absolutely break God's word, and they don't know themselves. And still their subconscious mind is intact, and now we have here to say, no, going to God is a brave journey that you have to follow it with a great zeal and great desire. If the assumption is correct, then you are God, I think people should expose you more to the world, because I don't think many people know of it. I welcome any exposure. If you know somebody that can bring this message to greater degree to humanity, I am for it. And if anybody else you know that might do that, actually we did have a contact with the some host shows in some talk shows, and we are also waiting for us to see who will come and take these and spread it in many, many ways. So I am open to it. There is lots of people, but I'm not going to go, you know, beg for it. It is up to the people who know this mission and the teachings, who like to see this being exposed in a greater degree. It's up to you all to take it to every corner of the world, to spread it, to to arrange, you know, situations that these teachings will be exposed in a greater degree, and the more we come out of the mundanity of self-centeredness and self, the more we can concentrate in God and His revelations and His teachings and bring it in a greater degree to humanity. So I'm not close to being exposed at all. But opportunity has not been presented itself in a greater degree. And we understand why. As God said, you know, this revelation is going to come as a thief of the night in the beginning, and it has been. Right now, it sounds like it, that if this work has been has exposure in a kind of a very low level in for humanity, but we have touched a lot of people, and eventually it will expose in a greater degree, and I will wait until God says what time it will. Okay, if there is any other question, let's see. I'm still not convinced he is God. He is a nice, smart man. Okay. I'm not saying he is not, but just not. Okay, that's fine. Actually, that is a very good approach still. You should not just come here and believe right away. You have to investigate this, and you have to recognize our teachings in a greater degree before you absolutely realize and recognize that truly God has come to earth again and brought a new revelation to man. But a lot of what I might try to explain, I have already heard about before. Okay, so I'm not sure if it's a new revelation, but it's the truth. I think of it as the ancient wisdom, but for the people who claim as Maitreya should work hard to reveal him in the world. Alright, yep, that's, I agree with you. The people who really see the vision should work very hard to get this mission everywhere. Alright, sure, I agree with you in everything so far. Okay, yeah, well, and you cannot also, in order to recognize that last step, you also have to see the prophecies are fulfilled, the revelations set by God will come has come. So, and it is not just explanation of the things, and the wisdom that is been revealed through this mission, also the resume that God has given to this mission. But I enjoy your discussion much here, because when I ask questions in the room when you're not here, I get read that. But your containment, yeah, I can see maybe, you know, because you type so fast and you go question. I had a hard time to keep up with your typing, but that is fine. I'm glad that, you know, it's here. It is truth. This is for humanity. This is, again, for more people see this vision clearly and come together and create the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are over our time, since the questions are also coming to end. I leave all of you to God and meditate on these words and this revelation. Become more dedicated to this cause and expose this teaching to every man, woman, child, to the whole universe. My final message is the eternal divine path. Go to our website and somebody will tell you where the website is and read there. Come next week and ask any question you have about religions. If they are in a higher level for God, they will be answered in a deeper level. God bless all of you. God be with you. Shalom.